El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio. Here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
All right. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's Hall of Fame Day here on Sports Talk. I'm only with you for an hour. Then I'm getting out of here. I've got a Hall of Fame to MC for the El Paso Athletic Class of 2024. In fact, one of our new Hall of Famers are here with us right now. I'm excited about this. Jerry Rubin is going to be a part of that great class of eight getting inducted tonight. Lane Frank is here as well, and he is going to join us for the hour. In fact, you're going to be right next to your grandfather tonight, and you're going to be up on the podium.
I'm learning that right now. I just learned that.
You didn't even know this?
Didn't know it. Excited for it, though.
Who'd you think was going to be up there, your mom?
I'm glad. I'm honored.
You should be. I mean, it's really cool.
It's be a great event.
And by the way, I bet you he chose you. I'm willing to bet anything that the Hall of Famer decided that he wants his grandson to be up there. And by the way, that's another thing. There's multiple grandsons. That's another problem. This obviously could create some family friction. You have two brothers. You have cousins. There are a lot of people that he could have picked to be up with him tonight. And you, however, are going to be the guy.
It's the name of the game, Sports Hall of Fame. I'm obviously a sports connoisseur in the family. Only right should meet me.
Wow, that's good to know.
Yes, I love it.
I love it, guys. Not only is he going, but he is explaining to everybody that of anybody else in the family, the Rubin family, the Frank family, it doesn't matter. It is you.
Taking no shots.
It's the way it should be, right?
It should be.
That's good. I like that. Are you going to do the acceptance speech for him, or are you going to let him do it?
I'll let him do his own acceptance speech. Maybe he'll get a little sneak peek on air. And we don't want that.
No, I want to save this for tonight.
Can we throw some roast in there? I know we talked to you about that the other night. You said no.
No, we're not going to roast him. This is not a celebrity roast. This is not Tom Brady. This is the El Paso Athletic Hall of Fame.
There's some personality in it.
There will be personality, but you can't roast him. This is not a joke fest. This is the ultimate honor. That's it. Let me ask you this. If you could roast your grandfather, what would be your number one roast line that you would throw out there tonight?
Maybe that repeats every single story, no matter how many times, and every time he meets a new person, tells them the same exact stories.
Well, maybe they've never heard that story before. You might have heard that story a thousand.
Maybe how he needs the headphones every week. Maybe his phone goes off at least five times a show.
Would you like that? Hang on, let me listen. The new Hall of Famer, by the way, is in the middle of texting right now. Do you think his phone is on silent?
Definitely not.
You don't?
Definitely not.
Do me a favor. Pick up his phone. Go grab his phone right now. He's right next to you. Go get the phone and put it on silent mode. So this way, if somebody calls him during the show, it doesn't start ringing in and interrupt your segment. You think he'll allow you to do that?
Well, let's see.
All it is just you take a little switch and you flick it down, and it puts it on silent mode.
Okay, I think he did it. We're good.
Did he? Jerry, is the phone on silent?
Yes, it is.
Very nice. I like that. Congratulations, by the way. I know we had you on once before after this was official, but we're excited about having you back and excited about tonight. I know you're excited about tonight, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I never expected anything to be like that. I never thought in all the years that I was going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Is there any family friction knowing that Lane is your representative and not somebody else in the family?
No, because he's our sports maven, you know,
But you have multiple mavens. The family has produced many mavens over the years.
That's true.
His older brothers are sports mavens too, right?
Only one brother's coming tonight. The other brother stayed in New York.
Oh, wow. All right. Upset about the fact that your other grandson decided to not make the trip? Or are we okay
with
that?
He has a job. He has an internship job. So
well, you can't leave.
He's working.
If there's anybody who can appreciate somebody working their tail off and having to miss this, it's you, right?
True.
Because nobody works as hard as you do. And
thank you.
Lane, you could probably attest to that. Is that correct?
Business is business, Steve. You got to take care of it.
Business is definitely business. What are you looking forward to most when you see your grandfather up on? By the way, do you call him your grandfather? Do you call him your grandpa? Or do you just call him Jerry?
We call him Deezy, actually.
Deezy.
So my brother Drew right next to me right now, he wasn't able to say Zadie, which is basically Hebrew for grandpa. He wasn't able to say that, so we call him Deezy now.
Deezy. Because Deezy was like how he said Zadie back in the day.
Yeah, Zadie in Yiddish.
Okay,
no, he couldn't say it, so we call him Deezy.
Deezy. Deezy makes you sound like you're a rapper. Do you like the fact that you are now known as Deezy Rubin?
That's right. When I say, you know, this is Deezy, they want to know who's Deezy.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Is it DZJ or is it just DZ?
It's just knows DZ.
Just DZ. All right.
Be funny.
Terrific.
Excited for his speech. Let's see how that goes.
I know. I'm excited for his speech, too. I'm sure you've been working. Will you be one of those rare people that starts to hit the 20-minute mark and they have to take a cane to start getting you off the stage? How's it going to work,
well,
Jerry?
I was thinking what I was going to write, so maybe at 5:30 or 6 o'clock I'll write the speech.
Oh, no. Good. You haven't written it yet.
No,
I like that.
No, I have. It's going to be 5 minutes.
Okay.
Or 5.5 minutes.
Five and a half.
That's 25 minutes in Jerry Rubin language.
Is it really?
Pretty much.
So you think 5.5 minutes for him is more is like triple the time?
Let's hope he gets to five fast if I'm going to get through the speech.
Yeah, that I'm sure you'll be just fine. In fact, let me ask you this. I know you've talked about what Hall of Fame. What are you looking forward to most tonight?
Tonight? Or?
Yes, for the induction ceremony. What are you looking forward to the most?
Well, of course, I, over the last week, I've been overwhelmed. We went to the City Hall, and then yesterday they had us on KBIA. They interviewed a podcast afterwards, so at the end of the show, I've been to so many places with them.
Did you throw out the first pitch?
Yes, I did.
How'd you do? Did you get the ball over the plate?
No, I did not. I have to admit, I did not get it over the plate.
Lane, I know you're already holding your head. Did you see the footage? Have you seen the pitch, Lane?
No, I did not see the footage, but I know that every time he watches a baseball game, he says, why can't they just throw it in the strike zone? Well, that's why. It's not the easiest thing in the world.
How close did you get as far as getting the ball over the plate?
I threw it, and it bounced right in front of the catcher. So my accuracy was good, but it was like
a little short.
4 or 5 feet away from the catcher.
So in other words, the catcher got it. You just didn't hit him on a fly.
That's right.
That's okay. At least you got the ball. Hey, look, what's better, by the way? Getting it like that or airmailing one that hits the umpire in the head and then causing himself to go viral on all social media platforms?
So you got to think this in business ways. Throwing one over the plate, that's not going to do anything for you. Now hitting an umpire, that's going to make you go viral. That's going to be awesome.
You know what? That happened years ago. Did you ever see that story?
A Chihuahua's game? Or just
no,
a real
Diablo's game?
Game.
Rene Romo, sportscaster at the time for Channel 4, threw out the first pitch, and somehow from the mound, it like hit the umpire in the head. It was on every blooper reel for years as a result of that.
See, that's incredible. That's awesome. That's good TV.
So you like that?
That's good marketing.
Okay.
As long as the person's okay, who cares?
There you go.
Steve, I don't know if everybody knows who listens to you that you're in the Hall of Fame and your father was in the Hall of Fame. So congratulations to you and your dad. That's very nice.
I appreciate that, Jerry. It's the Hall means a lot to us for reasons you just stated, and it's the ultimate honor in El Paso. So I know we're excited about that. Excited about having you there. And think back to everything you've had a chance to do over the years. I mean, as Helen of Troy grew and grew and grew, it was all about giving back to the community, which is why you're here with us tonight, because you sponsored the Sun Bowl game for years. You helped build the Helen of Troy complex for softball. There's another building on the UTEP campus. I think it's the Fine Arts Building
right. That
you also have your name attached to. So for you, it's always been about giving back to the community as you started making a bigger name for yourself here in El Paso and around the world.
That's true. Well, I went to Texas Western College after high school, so it's my alma mater. So I think I've paid them back a little bit for letting me into the school.
And then some, that's for sure, and then some. And by the way, you also have a terrific sports memorabilia collection in the office, and I know that dates back to your Helen of Troy days and something that you're also pretty proud of, right?
That's right.
By the way,
El Paso Sports Museum.
Is there anything in that museum that you just like you want to basically make sure that you eventually inherit?
So I think the things that I really want end up in my room. Maybe sometimes I've got Aaron Judge bat in my room, Pete Alonso thing in my room, signed Brady jersey in my room. But there are some things in there that are just incredible. I'm really trying to think of one thing in that museum that I'd love to put in my room. Maybe some of the Yankees things in there.
So what you're saying is that sometimes when he gets items, they don't go to the River Oaks Properties office. They go to your room.
Maybe it's present. I've got one from Rafael Nadal. It says Tulane, best wishes, signed by Nadal.
Oh, that's cool. Is it a racket?
It's a poster, but still.
Poster.
It's awesome.
Nice. Is he one of your heroes?
Rafael Nadal, one of my favorite tennis players of all time, so for sure.
So he's on your all-time list.
Definitely.
Who's number one on the list? Is it Federer?
Nadal, because Nadal? Lefty. So I mauled my game after Nadal a little bit. Now, current-day players, I mean, there's some more flashy guys, but all-time, you have to maul your game after Nadal. As a lefty, you have to respect Nadal and make him your favorite.
Is Pete Alonso your favorite baseball player, or is it Aaron Judge?
Pete Alonso's my favorite baseball player. I just hope the Mets keep him. And also, if they don't, no hard wishes, but that'd be tough.
if they trade him anywhere, should they trade him to the Yankees?
I don't think they trade him, but if they do, trade him to the Yankees, yes.
So then you could be happy because you could have him as a Yankee.
I don't think he'll go to the Yankees, though. They got Rizzo. Even though Rizzo's hurt.
Rizzo's terrible.
Even though Rizzo's hurt, they can't take on both those contracts.
He is terrible.
But they can't take on both those contracts.
All right. You've been busy, haven't you? You sent out a tweet on X a couple of days ago, which you have since doubled down on, predicting a major move in the NBA. In fact, you have already received over 100,000 views on this tweet, and you have people wondering who the heck are you. Some people have been blasting you on social media, and instead, you are still very much will go down when it's all said and done.
So I have sources, real sources at Scored Sports, that are heavily connected in the NBA. You can look at 2 weeks ago, I posted that Klay Thompson was going to join the Bahamas squad. And everyone's like, who is this kid saying Klay Thompson's going to join the Bahamas? Nobody expects that. Klay Thompson, a few days later, joins the Bahamas squad. That's giving me right there. Then I get a tip a few days early that Paul George is going to go to the Golden State Warriors, but to wait on it because, you know, trade, need to get some things ironed out. From what I'm told and what I posted, Paul George to the Warriors is a done deal. For a young core, look at Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody to definitely be included in that young core right there. And I've blown up from it. Now, I'm heard that if another team comes with a big offer, and that team might have been New York Knicks, who aren't in the running anymore, then the Warriors couldn't have had a chance there. But now the Warriors, standalone, deal looks done. That's what I'm hearing.
Did Paul George call you and confirm this? Has he said, good job, Lane, you're on it. I will be a Warrior, and I will mention you when I go to the press conference to introduce myself in Golden State?
No, but that would be pretty awesome. In his press conference, he's like, well, you know, I got a little bit nervous. I saw a few days earlier a 16-year-old saying that I was getting traded.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's going to happen.
Hey, guys, we got breaking news over here, and it is Knicks-related. OG Anunoby, a 5-year deal, $212 million, though.
That's about what I thought it was going to be. I figured that for the money that they were going to have to spend to keep
deal.
OG Anunoby, it was going to be in excess of $40 million a year. That was talked about last night. It also means Isaiah Hartenstein is not going to be coming back to the team, or Hartenstein. But listen, they got Bridges last night. They're keeping Anunoby. Is the puzzle complete? Do you feel the New York Knicks now can go out and win themselves at least an Eastern Conference championship and go to the NBA Finals?
You know, I would say yes. Just the tough thing is the best team in the NBA is in the Eastern Conference, but I definitely am confident of 100% getting to the Eastern Conference Finals versus those Boston Celtics. You need better big men, though, and I think that's going to be the main priority, maybe train Julius Randle. Knicks fans are freaking out because of the first-round pick situation that they gave up so many from Mikal Bridges. They have 5 first-round picks over the next 3 years. Do not panic, Knicks fans. You can use those picks, get capital in the later years that you trade for Mikal Bridges, or even get a superstar center right now.
Not to mention the fact that if the Knicks are good, who cares? The picks are going to be near the bottom of the first round anyway, and the Knicks traditionally don't draft real well. So there's a lot of things going in the Knicks' favor for those picks to trade. If you're the Nets, that's a bigger problem because you're now doing a full-scale, complete rebuild.
It's a smart deal for the Knicks. You think about it. Bradley Beal, when they traded for him last year at Phoenix Suns from Washington Wizards, he got paid $50 million a year. Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges combined are getting paid $48 million a year. OG Anunoby, I don't know how the conversion is, 212 divided by 5, but
42.
Yeah, $42 million a year. Randall, they'll probably move on from, but Dante DiVincenzo, Josh Hart, those guys are on good contracts. Maybe you keep Mitchell Robinson now. Maybe you get a more reliable center. You have 2 draft picks back-to-back tonight. Let's see how that works. Saw a mock draft of them getting Terrence Shannon Jr. That'd be a great pick. Then Khalil Ware in the next pick, another good center out of Indiana. Those are some good picks. It's going to be a great team next year. That's a great deal right there. Great breaking news.
Do the Knicks have enough suitors for Julius Randle, or is the injury something that's going to hurt his trade value this offseason?
I think there's enough suitors for Julius Randle, no doubt, and I think they'll get a good market for him.
Okay, so if the Knicks decide to move Randle, you think that ultimately that'll free up some money, help them out in the long term, and maybe bring another big piece that could help them?
Let's hope so.
Okay. Adrian, good news. Man. Good breaking news today. I like it.
You know what, guys? I was very, very blessed to cover this Villanova team when they went to the Final Four, and I got a chance to talk to Brunson, Bridges, and DiVincenzo. I never thought this would happen. This doesn't happen in sports, guys. This doesn't happen where guys reunite in college, where they have a chance to actually play together in the NBA. Like, this is some Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase kind of stuff right here.
Except with more players.
Right.
And then now you 4 of them now.
You add Josh Hart in that mix, too.
Yes.
And you got that whole Nova connection.
What a team. What a stacked team right now.
Yeah, well, those guys in Villanova in 2018 probably caused a few angry moments for me when I was in fourth grade. Michigan, Villanova, national championship. rough game, rough night. All these Villanova guys were on that team, except Josh Hart still, though. Villanova, really happy to see these guys in the NBA. Could have sworn back then, I never want to see Dante DiVincenzo and Jalen Brunson's faces again. Now they're in the NBA on my favorite team.
I love it.
All right, when we come back, let's talk about Schoolyard Sports. What episode are we on now?
We're on episode 173. Audio is out now, and video will be coming out later. Stay tuned.
We will preview 173 when we continue. More with Jerry Rubin as well from the El Paso Athletic Hall of Fame class of 2024. Let's get it going right. Here he is, Charlie One, with our first traffic update of a busy Wednesday. Schoolyard Sports.
Yeah, it's a great episode, episode 173 of Schoolyard Sports. I gave you my NBA mock draft lottery mock draft. You want to talk about that? I have a great Did You Know. You know, we got some things. I'm screaming on Trevor Lawrence in the NFL. It's a great episode. Go tune in out now on all audio podcast platforms and video platforms later.
Why are you screaming about Trevor Lawrence?
Because it's ridiculous that this guy is getting paid $225 million, or even more than that. What is it? He's getting paid $55 million a year, more than Joe Burrow, more than Patrick Mahomes, more than any player in the NFL history. You're telling me Trevor Lawrence is the best player in NFL history? I wouldn't care if Trevor Lawrence is paid less than Daniel Jones. Is Trevor Lawrence better than Daniel Jones? Same amount of playoff wins. There really is no argument here for Trevor Lawrence to be paid above $30 million a year, let alone the most of all time with 55. It's bogus. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, these teams, they need to relax. It's crazy.
So you're as far as you're concerned, the NFL is just paying their quarterbacks too much money. Most guys are making too much, but this is the latest example. Trevor Lawrence is everything that's wrong with the NFL, in your opinion.
It's ridiculous. It's everything that's wrong, because why should every single time a quarterback gets paid, get paid $55 million a year? There is no other league where it's like that. Okay, Ohtani gets paid $700 million a year. Does that mean Soto's going to get paid $800 million a year? Absolutely not. It's ridiculous.
By the way, if I'm not mistaken, isn't Dak Prescott making $60 million this year with the Cowboys?
I don't think so. Not that much. Adrian, can you check that?
I'll check that.
All right. I'm almost positive that
I don't think he's making that
much. I think he is making...
Okay, but total contract, I don't think...
Well, no, not total contract, but I think this year, based on the structure, he is making an obscene amount of money.
40.
No, it's not more than 40, right?
Or is it 40. It's just 40.
Is it 40?
It's 40.
Okay. But I feel like there is a larger cap effect on the Cowboys. Maybe that's what it is. But $40 million. All right. If you were paying Dak Prescott what he's worth compared to Trevor Lawrence, how much money should he be getting paid?
$25 million a year, Trevor Lawrence. What has he shown you? Really, what has he shown you to get contract extension?
Nothing yet.
Let alone this big of a deal.
Okay, guys. So he counts to 21% of the Cowboys cap because of his signing bonus and the restructure. So 55.4 million. So
okay.
There you go.
I was off by $4.6 million.
He's making, I was off by 15.4.
$55 million for Dak Prescott.
It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. Don't you wish you had a better arm and you were 6'4"?
I mean, I don't blame Trevor. Okay, let me rephrase this scream, because I'm not screaming on Trevor Lawrence. Why would he not accept the money? I mean, that's ridiculous money to get, ridiculous by his agent. For the Jaguars, for the rest of the NFL, it's ridiculous.
Well, they've invested in him. They think he's the future. And you're right. It could put them in financial hell for years to come as a result of that. That's right. Sure can. Just like the Cowboys. The Cowboys have screwed up. Jerry Jones and these contracts, he has essentially ruined his team because he can't do what he wants to do because he has no money to spend.
They have nothing.
So. Well, doesn't this tell you, though, that if you got a rookie quarterback on a rookie contract, that's the window of opportunity right there. Like C.J. Stroud, if I'm the Texans, I'd go all in right now before you have to pay him.
Yep, I'm with you. I think that's a good idea. That's why the Texans are a popular pick. Yesterday, I picked the Giants as a rebound pick to have a big season in 2024. That was my team.
I think a team that might have a really good season that was pretty good last year, Adrian's Rams.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're not in on the Giants right now?
Not fully in on the Giants. I mean, I'm really excited for the Hard Knocks show that's coming out with them. You know, the Saquon thing in the trailer, that's going to be exciting to see, but not too much hype with the Giants right now.
How bad is this NBA draft class?
Okay, a lot of people like to say this NBA draft class is so bad because there's not a true number one guy. I can see this draft class having a bunch of good players. You look at Ron Holland, could be really good. We talked about in text the other day. Matias Bezuelas could be really good. Look at even Rusaker, Alex Sart. These guys are good basketball players. They're just not number one pick potential. None of these guys are. Now you know if some of these guys are top five pick potential. But still, let's see how it goes. Isaiah Collier, I think, is a really underrated name. This guy was number one recruit in the country. Got hurt his freshman year at USC. Got fully blindsided by Bronny James. Look for him to go in the lottery. I think he's a great riser.
Where does Bronny James go?
Bronny James can end up a Los Angeles Laker. Or maybe I could even see a team holding Bronny hostage trying to get LeBron. But they have JJ Redick now. LeBron's not going to leave. I think if Bronny gets drafted by another team, LeBron will not go to that team.
Didn't LeBron just sign a 3-year extension with the Lakers last night, or that's the word that's happening?
No, that's just what they offered him.
Okay, they offered like, what, 150 or 160, something ridiculous
I
like that?
124, 3 years, something like
it's
that.
It's still a lot of money for LeBron.
But LeBron doesn't need it. LeBron could go a minimum wage and have a great team around him. I think he might even rather that.
The veteran exception, just to play with his son. By the way, J.J. Redick, is this going to be a total disaster in L.A.?
Trust me, it'll work, and I think it'll work better than Danny Hurley did.
Why?
Danny Hurley's an amazing head coach, who's great in the college game and not ready for the NBA jump yet because he's not an NBA guy. He'll be a great guy, amazing guy in college basketball. He's the best coach in college basketball, and there's no doubt about that. J.J. Redick is an NBA guy. Only thing I'm worried about is how fast can this guy lose the locker room? They lose 5 games this season, he's going to lose that locker room. It can be because J.J. Redick can still be playing in the NBA today. He has the health to do it. He has the skills to do it. He's just too old. He doesn't want to right now. What if a guy says, oh, JJ, your game plan sucks. I cooked you 2 years ago. What makes you think this is any better? That's what I'm worried about right there.
Plus, he's a hothead.
Can he get locked?
Didn't he drop an F-bomb during his introductory press conference?
Yeah, but, I mean, you want to see that type of excitement. That's a new era. Darvin Ham was the biggest hothead. I interviewed Darvin Ham. I mean, one of the craziest interviews I've ever had, at least before it.
What did Darvin Ham do that was so crazy when you had him on?
You know, I asked Darvin Ham, can I have an interview? He said, hell no, I'm here to party. He was just messing around, but still.
Oh, that's what it was. So, yeah, you were talking about, you know, going to be a part of an event, and he's saying now he's wanting to have a good time.
Yeah.
So, and you think JJ could be even crazier?
I think JJ is a little bit different, maybe a little bit nicer. I think JJ's going to be a great head coach.
Okay. Bottom of the hour as we continue here on Sports Talk. More in a moment, but first, let's get to Sports Center. Let me figure out who's – all right, that would be you, Adrian, or is it – yeah. Adrian Broad is standing by. He's got this update for us. Adrian, thank you very much. Jerry Rubin with us as well. He's in the contributor category for the El Paso Athletic Hall of Fame tonight, induction night, coming up in about, I would say 2.5 hours from now. I'm curious, with all the things you've done over the years, all of the, you know, everything you've been a part of, very, very generous with giving back to the Sun Bowl, UTEP, the community and everything, is Lane Frank your proudest achievement, considering he is family, he is blood?
Well, I don't know if he's my proudest achievement. I'm sure his parents will say that but I can't know. But it's amazing where he got all this information from, how he remembers everything of every player, every game, everybody's salary. He's amazing.
And he's never wrong. I like that about Lane. You know what? You are never wrong. When we argue on this radio show, you're always right.
Yeah, I mean, relax a little bit there. I'm wrong a little bit sometimes. We still have that long-term bet, Sam Darnold, Kenny Pickett, that'll win. But, you know, maybe back then I was wrong on that.
I might be collecting on that when you're in college.
Yeah, relax. But we'll see.
Relax on that. You might be, what do you have? You have 1 year left at Coronado?
2 more years left
at
Coronado.
2 more years. So let's see, 2 more years at Coronado, and then you're going to go to Michigan, and you'll have at least 4 years there. Yeah, I think it's 6 years I'll be able to collect from that bet. That sounds about right.
Maybe we should do a sooner one, Michigan, Texas, week 2.
No, I want the long-term bet. I want the bet that started when you were like, 15 years old. I think that's even better.
Okay, how about Michigan, UTEP, 2026? Does Scotty Walton have a good program by then?
Ooh, that's a big question. By the way, there's another thing, okay? And this is going to sound crazy, but... You know, there are some people that believe that Scotty Walden could win and be out by then. If he wins fast, win and go.
I could see that. Scotty Walden's a great coach. He could definitely win by then and be out. Maybe he wants to stay here and build.
How hard is it to win when you're going to play 7 road games this season, including Tennessee, Nebraska, Colorado State, and they're also on the road against Liberty?
I hope he takes a page out of the Jeff Traylor playbook. You know, Jeff Traylor has built up a great program at USTA, and, you know, he's still there. UTSA.
That's right. That's because they gave him $30 million over 10 years to stick around. They were smart. They locked him down when they knew that he would be a pretty hot commodity.
He could have gone to A&M, could have gone to Texas Tech, could have gone to TCU, stay at UTSA. Maybe Walden will do that if he built some success at UTEP.
Okay, that's fair. Do you think Scotty Walden will be coaching the Miners in 2026 when they play against Michigan?
I think it'd be maybe a good thing if he wasn't, because that means UTEP is a great program, but I hope he does, and I think he will be.
Adrian, will we be broadcasting live that show with incoming freshman Lane Frank before the Michigan UTEP game?
I love that. I love that. We got to do a takeover that day.
We might
need
to
manifest it right now.
Are we going to broadcast from your freshman dorm? Is that where we are going to originate the show?
That would be fun.
Yes, that would be fun.
I don't know if my roommate would like that.
tough for them. You know what? Tell them to leave for 3 hours. We'll take over the place. We don't even need all we need is just an area, just like a desk or even a bed. We can do the show. It's fine. You know, we've become very portable and
sleeping
advanced
bags.
In our,
yes. Come on, man.
That's exactly right.
Ramen, sleeping bags, a little Billy football. No, it's Lane football over here.
Do we know where the biggest hangouts are at in Ann Arbor? Where
I'll show you guys. I'll know the best spots for you guys.
Yeah, you already have the good. You already
you
have
want a good time
there,
or you want a fun time? Or you want a both time?
A good time?
You want a long time, fun time, or just a good time?
What is the difference between a long time, a fun time, and a good time?
I think a long time might be a boring time. You know, we go on a tour, we see some things. A fun time is going to be a really fun time, and then a good time, you know, see some good things, but not as great as a fun time.
Okay, so you're saying that the best is the fun time, then comes the good time, and after that is the what time? The long time.
Yeah, the long time, just the tour.
Adrian, what do we choose?
I'm going fun time. I want to hear what's fun with Lane Frank.
Okay. All right. We'll see what happens. That'd be good. I'm looking forward to that. But we got time. You're only going into your junior year. You got plenty of time before
we got time.
Yeah,
hey,
I agree.
I got an El Paso Athletic Hall of Fame question for you, Lane. What is your all-time favorite sports moment with your grandpa?
Ooh, okay. There's a lot of great moments right here. You could look at national championship for Michigan this year. You could look at maybe even Michigan national championship 2018, some finals games he's taken us to. But I think my all-time favorite moment with my grandpa at a sporting event was this year. Duke versus Houston, took us to the game, really just in and out. I went with my grandpa and my brother, and it was such a great time, such a great game. He really enjoyed it. He took me, not my parents. It was a great game.
So Duke Houston with your grandpa and your brother.
In Dallas.
And that was the best you've had so far. The best.
I think the best moment. I mean, it was a great game. We got to see two games. He took care of us. It was a great game. I think he enjoyed it, the college atmosphere of a game. It was great.
Jerry, what is your number one sports moment? If you had to go back and think about all of them, is there one particular sports moment that stands out for you amongst everyone else?
Well, we all went to Houston to see Michigan win the national championship. That was a highlight going down there to see Michigan. I think that's it.
Would that be the number one?
Yeah.
See, here I was thinking you were going to say, well, remembering the 66 championship team with Texas Western beating Kentucky.
I wasn't in the country when they I didn't see the game until afterwards. My brother got married that day in Mexico City, so I had to go down there. So I missed the game.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
I didn't know till Monday.
So you had a family wedding, your brother getting married in Mexico City, which ultimately took you out of the championship.
That's true. I wanted to mention when Lane, of course, wants to go to Michigan, and I'm sure he's going to go, he's got so much Michigan memorabilia that when he puts it in his room at the dorm in Michigan is going to look like a museum. He's got so much Michigan memorabilia.
He might not take it all with him. He might keep some of it back here.
We'll see.
No, he wants to take it all back. He wants to take it all with him.
Yeah, well, that might be
already taken as much as he can from my office, so he's going to take what he can.
He was already telling us about the stash. It sounds like your room is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I got a lot of great stuff in there.
Are you ever going to broadcast from your room?
Don't think I'll ever broadcast from my room. Maybe I'll just take a little room tour of all the memorabilia.
That would be good.
That'd be nice.
Top five memorabilia you own. That would be a good segment.
That would be a good segment.
That would be interesting.
But then I have to hang it all back up. We'll see.
That's a real pain having to do that, to take it down and showcase it and then have to bring it back up again.
Could be a good segment, though.
I think that's got potential.
Yeah.
Do you have like a number one piece, like your number one piece of memorabilia?
I think number one piece of memorabilia might just be the autographed, personalized Tom Brady signed Michigan jersey by my bed.
Oh, that's by your bed?
Above my bed.
Oh, above your bed.
Above my bed. So
oh, really?
Above my bed frame.
So you're saying that when you like go to bed at night, you look up and the first thing you see is the autographed Tom Brady?
Tom Brady.
That sounds...
used to be Devin Bush, now it's Tom Brady.
Have you met Tom Brady?
Never met Tom Brady. Here, I'll show you a picture of it right here.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. By the way, is that still in the works? Would you, like to meet, maybe hang out with Tom Brady before it's all said and done?
We're supposed to have a meet and greet Aaron Judge sometime this summer. We'll see if that happens. But Tom Brady, that'd be a great person to
meet. It's going to happen, Lane, because he's now entering the broadcasting world. He's going to be the lead on Fox. It's going to happen.
You know it's going to happen. You'll probably be sitting in with him on a whole broadcast.
That'd be great.
I think
he did in his broadcasting debut. I feel like he did pretty well.
Not bad.
Yeah, he did well.
He was excellent. Yeah. I think he's going to be really solid, guys.
I think Greg Olson was great, so a bit tough to see him go, but Tom Brady's amazing.
Who's going to be better as a broadcaster, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick?
Ooh, Tom Brady. Belichick doesn't have enough personality. Now, Belichick might get into the X's nose.
I don't know about that. Belichick is showing you a little something here over these last couple of months.
It's going to be tough for Belichick to explain some things because he's got his own way of explaining the X's and O's that is untraditional from everybody else.
Okay.
He can connect with young people.
Who, Belichick?
Yeah.
He already has. A 24-year-old. Just imagine her friends. I get it.
Relax.
All right. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour one here on Sports Talk as we continue. 600 ESPN El Paso. All right, back here on Sports Talk as we continue with Lane Frank, Jerry Rubin in our first hour. Adrian's going to take the show over in the 5 and 6 o'clock hours and get you ready for Chihuahuas baseball. Also want to let you know, Dining Deals is back this coming Friday at 10 a.m. The return of Desert Oak Barbecue. They are going to be back for a second go-around. In fact, since they last did Dining Deals last October, they have now opened a food truck at the Neep Collective in Northeast El Paso. And Desert Oak Barbecue, simply put, some of the best smoked barbecue you will taste anywhere in town. These are limited to just one per person, but Adrian, $50 to Desert Oak for just $25 on sale 10 a.m. on Friday.
What a steal. And for those who've never tried one of the best, if not the best, barbecue here in town, this is your opportunity to do so right here. I love Desert Oak, whether I'm eating in person, taking it to go, eating it at Neep Collective. I'm a huge fan, and I'm so excited for Friday.
Learn more at Dining Deals and the Must Read Bar at 600ESPNElPaso.com. We're back with Lane. We're back with Jerry. NBA draft, first round tonight. Lane wants to do a little mock draft exercise, which I know Adrian's excited about.
Let's
because
do it.
You live for the draft as well.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's make it a team, you and Adrian against me.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And we'll see if Adrian and I will see if we're in agreement. We'll go with you first for the Atlanta Hawks. They are picking first. If you were running the Hawks, who would you take?
All my sources tell me Zachary Saker, number one. Frenchman, Atlanta Hawks take him at number one. And they trade Trae Young. I think happens not tonight, but that's my prediction for this offseason.
Where's Trae going?
I think Trae can go anywhere, even the Lakers. Keep that as an option.
Really?
Keep that as an option.
All right. Would you take Zachary number one overall if you had the choice?
I would. I think this is a pretty bad draft class, but if you have to take number one guy, it's Zachary Saker.
Okay. That leaves us now with the second round, Adrian. The Washington Wizards picking second. A lot of rumors that Alex Saar from Australia is going to go second. If we were running the Wizards, is that the player that this team needs right now as part of their rebuild?
Yeah, it really doesn't even matter what we would think in that point, because Alex Saar, it seems like his whole team thinks this is a bad team in Washington. Let's get him a bunch of shots, a bunch of points up there, and at least let him display what he could do, you know, as a seven-footer. So he's going number two. I'd say this is way more of a lock than number one.
All right, that takes us to number three, the Houston Rockets via the Nets, just acquiring this pick. Now, question is, where do the Rockets go, and who are they taking?
They take Reed Shepard with this number three overall pick, shooting guard of the future. Doesn't have to play right away, not great on defense. He'll develop, and it's a good pick. Reed Shepard, number three.
All right, and that takes us to the Spurs at four. Adrian, lots of possibilities here. We
yes.
could have Stephon Castle from UConn. We could have Rob Dillingham. We could have, as we heard earlier, Bezelis. We could have Dalton Necht, Cody Williams. Lots of people that they brought in for workouts. Where do you see the Spurs going at four?
Yeah, I think this is kind of where the draft opens up a little bit. This is where you can get a little if what you know, Lane is kind of chiming in here on is the case, and this holds to be true, then what we could see on this one for number four, I'm going Stephon Castle, because, you know, obviously they need more of a point guard. It's got to be handing away the reins and the keys from Sochan, if you're the Spurs, over to a new guy who can handle the ball.
All right. Now we're back to the draft with Lane, number five, Detroit Pistons. Who do you think they're taking?
I think they go with a reach right here. You know, you got new management. They're drafting without a head coach. They take Ron Hollins with this number five overall pick, a guy who had a great high school career, struggled in the G League, in the pros, but at least he's played a year of pro ball. That's an upside right there. Ron Hollins, a reach at number five, but he can be a great player.
All right. If Holland is off the board at five, Adrian, and the Hornets are picking at six, could this possibly be the spot for Matas Bezelis?
Yeah, I think this is his spot. A lot of people like him, like, to go even higher than five. So if he ends up like one, two, or not one, but if he ends up two or three or four, wouldn't be shocked necessarily. They really liked him in Ignite, and you know, when you see him in Ignite, it's kind of hard to evaluate all you see from the G League and stuff like that. But yeah, I like him. 6'9" prospect. Let's take him here with Charlotte.
Lane, what is the official pronunciation of that kid's name?
Matas Bezelis.
Okay, Matas Bezelis.
I don't even know how to pronounce Zachary Saker. I might be pronouncing it wrong.
So it's Richichet. It's Richichet. Yeah. Zachary Richichet.
I'll stick with Saker. Now, Richichet.
Richichet has a kind of a cool. Richichet has kind of a cool twist to it, doesn't it?
Richichet for three.
I like that. That's right. Richichet for Trey. There you go.
Ooh.
That's good. All right. Portland Trailblazers are now picking seventh. Where are we going here?
They're taking Jalen Williams' brother, Cody Williams, the best defender in this draft class, outside of a center seven-footer. He's a great shooter, great playmaker. It's a great pick. Cody Williams, number seven to the Blazers.
Okay, back to the Spurs now at eight. Adrian, this is one of the beautiful things if you're Pop in the Spurs organization. You get two picks in the top 10. We've already gone one direction at four. Where are we going here at eight?
Yeah, I think I'm smiling ear to ear knowing that Dalton Connect is still on the board if I'm the Spurs. And I'm saying Connect right there. Worst case, I see the shaking of heads there, Lane. Worst case scenario, he's hitting threes for me. And you know, if he's coming off the bench hitting threes, I'm cool with that. He's 24 years old. I get it. He's older. But I'll take Connect right here.
All right. Number nine, Memphis Grizzlies. They've got a lot of needs. Where are they going?
Number nine, Memphis Grizzlies. Wait, did someone say Klingon yet? No, right?
No, Klingon's on the board.
Wow.
Dominic Klingon, number nine.
So, that was my one.
I'm the winner.
You are the winner right there because that was my number one.
You know, that would really make Memphis Drew very, very happy if Donovan Klingon gets taken right
there. That would be incredible. I think they might have to trade up to three to get Klingon in real life.
Or maybe they get him. Maybe they get him at nine. Who knows?
Nah, he's not falling.
He falls. The Utah Jazz at 10. Lots of names still on the board right now. Rob Dillingham, if you want to go point guard. Cody Williams from Colorado. You've got the France forward. Salon is still out there as well. Where are we going?
Yeah, I like Topic here. I like him from Serbia, the point guard. I think I'd go here on – I like Dillingham a lot, though, too, Steve. Like, he's somebody who played some real minutes for Kentucky, who is a big difference maker. Some think that he's even better than Shepard. I'll still just go Topic because I like what I've seen from him.
Okay. That means the Bulls at 11. Now, all of a sudden, Dillingham is available. Do the Bulls decide to go in that direction?
You know, I'm going to go with the best surpriser. They don't take Dillingham. They take Isaiah Collier, who I think is more of a complete guard than Dillingham.
Okay. Oklahoma City Thunder via the Rockets at 12. I think we should go Dillingham here at 12.
Yeah.
I don't see him falling farther than 12 right now.
And knowing the Kayson Wallace trade could happen down the line, they could dangle him and say, hey, we've got a lot of young pieces at that spot. Let's just see how we can upgrade better.
Sacramento, this will be our last pick at 13. We'll go to the lucky 13 with Lane Frank. Where are we going at this point with the Kings?
Kings, at number 13, take Jared McCain, shooting guard out of Duke, the best shooter in this draft class.
How deep did you go in the mock draft as far as the Schoolyard Sports episode 173?
I went to 14, and I had McCain going 10 to the Jazz.
Okay. Before I let you go, and before I go, because I got to go head over to
MC
and be a part of that, it's a big moment for your grandfather. Is there anything you'd like to say on air about him here tonight before you head out to the Hall of Fame banquet?
You know, everyone thinks he's in the Hall of Fame for all his accomplishments and everything he's contributed to the Sports El Paso. It's really, in his opinion, because he was the yo-yo champion at Mesita in sixth grade. So I want to point that out right there for everybody.
Should that be brought up during his introduction tonight, that he was the sixth grade Mesita yo-yo champion?
I think it's being brought up already, but, you know, you as the MC, if you want to bring that up, please.
Well, you've just told all of El Paso about that, so I feel like we're pretty safe to say that the word is out, the secret is out, that Jerry Rubin was the sixth grade Mesita yo-yo champ.
Now, me, my parents, my brother, we're all really happy to celebrate this moment tonight and be a fun night.
Looking forward to it. We'll see you there. Thanks for being here.
See you later, Steve. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jerry. Jerry Rubin as well. He'll be inducted later tonight for the El Paso Athletic Hall of Fame. Episode 173 is out, and you can check that out. You got it, Jerry. When we come back, Adrian and Alberto will take you home for the next hour and 15 minutes. It's all coming up right here, 600 ESPN El Paso.
All right, welcome in to hour number two here on Sports Talk. Adrian brought us here along with Alberto Retta. UTEP Zay, we're heading back over to our hotline right now where all our guests always appear and welcoming on Chelsea from the A&A All the Way charity softball game. She is joining us again from the foundation themselves. The big charity softball game is coming back tomorrow. It's the third annual, like we've been talking about all week long here on this show, third annual charity softball game. It is starting at 6:30 for the Home Run Derby. 7:30, the game will actually get underway, and Chelsea's joining us here on the hotline as we continue. Chelsea, thank you so much for joining us here on the show today. How excited is everybody for the big day tomorrow here, the third annual charity softball game?
Everyone is super excited. You have your team here in the locker room as we speak, putting out the jerseys and all the cool items down here. You have your players getting here in town. So everyone is super excited.
so happy for that. I mean, this is a big week for the ANA All the Way Foundation, knowing that it's not just the charity softball game, Chelsea, but it's also the free youth football and basketball camp that the charity softball game helps support. That's coming up on Friday. But before we get out to the exciting free youth football and basketball camp, I want to just ask you, simply put, last weekend, the ANA All the Way Foundation set up a great event with Tin Man. You all have been all around town doing things to spread the word about purchasing tickets for the game itself tomorrow. How excited is everybody just to kick off the busy week?
Oh my gosh, Adrian, I have to thank Tin Man, and it was an amazing event. I think it pumped everyone up for this exciting event. Just to see Aaron on the can cup, right, and the 915 with the sombrero, I think it got everyone excited, and it got to get them to know who we were as ANA All the Way. You know, a lot of people still don't know who we are. So I think that kickoff is a great way to get started.
So for anybody who's listening to you for the first time here on this show, tell our listeners just a little bit about what the ANA All the Way Foundation aims to do here in El Paso.
Yeah, so just our ANA All the Way Foundation, we are based on three pillars. Those pillars are our military families, children, basic needs, and recreational and fitness to benefit the mental health. So just here in El Paso alone, we do a bike drive for Christmas. We do an annual shoe drive. So this year, thank you to Wind Supply and Wind Nelson, help us sponsor that. We also, as you said, our seventh annual basketball camp and our football camp that's completely free to over 800 kids in El Paso. We also do a turkey drive, and then we do little things throughout the community that people just don't know about. So we're just here. We're here to help the children of El Paso, the military families, and we just want to spread our love across El Paso.
I'm just so excited about this week really kicking off, Chelsea. We'll be out there tomorrow. It's going to be a very exciting event. Tickets are still available. That's the number one thing to mention right now. They're still available right now. Just log on AAAalltheway.org and click the Buy Tickets button. You can even see the rosters that are also there for Team Showtime, which is Team Aaron, and then Vino's All-Stars, which is Alvin's team. How competitive are the brothers getting, Chelsea? You give us a little scoop, because last year, Aaron's team was able to come out on top. They redeemed themselves. So this year, year three, it's kind of like the tiebreaker, right? Like, who's going to come out on top between Aaron and Alvin? It'll be really exciting.
Well, so the myth is, right, is that whoever jersey I wear, they always lose. So this year, I'm wearing a dual jersey, double-double, so there's no excuses, right? But, you know, they were really serious about handpicking these teams for – I've never seen a draft so serious, but they're so competitive, Adrian. It's 1-1, so it's going to be a good show. I will say there's very limited tickets left, so be sure to go ahead and purchase your tickets.
Good to know. And we're actually giving our listeners one more opportunity to win tickets here on the show today. We'll do that on the back end of this segment. Chelsea, how important is it to have great relationships like Nick Needham, Will Hernandez, those players who want to always come back and give back? And I'm just giving a small example and a small sample size of the players who always want to come back and support for this. But it seems like we see these players who are playing in the NFL on Sundays, who are at the highest levels themselves, but always want to come back to El Paso and give back to, you know, the ANA All the Way Foundation and to all the kids here in El Paso.
Well, you know what, Adrian? It's truly a blessing. The men here that went to UTEP, that became brothers through the UTEP football team, they support each other through and through. We truly believe that when God blesses you, no matter what that is, you continue to bless others. So God blessed each one of them with a talent, and they continuously share it across not only El Paso. They go to each other's camp. You know, Will just had a camp with Mijo Things last Friday, and people that came out. So it's just more of a brotherhood that's coming back to a community that supported them, and they want to continue to support that community.
Okay, I want to give our listeners a little tease to tomorrow, because I already saw the exclusive merchandise on social media, Chelsea. If the people out there don't know, what can you tell them about the exclusive merchandise that'll be available for purchase tomorrow at the ANA All the Way charity softball game?
Well, what I can tell you is you will, for the first year ever, you will be able to purchase a game hat, the same hat that the guys are wearing out in the field, guys and girls playing. You'll be able to purchase that. And Showtime has a release coming up as well tomorrow. So an exclusive release only at the softball game tomorrow.
Man, that is exciting. And people can get a chance to grab that merchandise firsthand out at the ANA All the Way charity softball game. You tell me, my last question to you, Chelsea, and thank you so much for all the time today. You just tell me, the event gets started with the Home Run Derby. The game is right after at 7:30. When this is all said and done, what are you hoping for with the foundation and with all the people who attend this event? What are you hoping they take away from an event like this?
An amazing community event. I just want everyone to come out, support El Paso as we do as a whole, as a community. It's like one big family. And I just want everyone to come out and have a good time, have a good family Thursday night, enjoy some softball, enjoy some football players, some UTEP players, just across the board. Just come out and have a good, safe time.
Love it. I love it. Chelsea, thank you so much for joining us and for all the time today. Thanks for the partnership. And we'll see you tomorrow out at the game.
Well, Adrian, one thing for you, I will give you guys a secret release on here that on the auction item, we will be auctioning off 2 game day tickets to the Minnesota Viking game.
Wow.
Paid for as well. So hop onto our silent auction once you get to the game, and you can bid on those tickets in that flight.
That's awesome. That's great stuff. Get a chance to see Aaron for the first time in purple and gold this season. That's awesome stuff. Thanks again, Chelsea. I really appreciate the time.
Thanks, Adrian.
All right, let's continue right here on Sports Talk. Again, I just want to let everybody know where you can get tickets today. You heard Chelsea say it right now. The tickets are going fast. AAalltheway.org. That is where you can purchase tickets for the 3rd annual charity softball game. We'll be out there tomorrow as part of Sports Talk and 600 ESPN El Paso. I want to give out some of these tickets, so we're gonna figure out a cool way to do it. And I think I know exactly how I want to do it. But I just want to read some of the roster names, guys, because Zay, you look at the roster names. I just want to know one question, and I did not ask this to Chelsea right now because I don't think the entire team knows this. They might have a guy who gets drafted in the NBA playing in the charity softball game tomorrow with Tristan Newton. He might be drafted tomorrow, like, during the actual game. Like, El Paso can celebrate with Tristan Newton tomorrow out at the charity softball game.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm just imagining him going up to bat, and all of a sudden they're like, wait.
He's a Laker,
you know? They're bringing out the phone and everything, and we have a close-up, and... That'd be crazy.
That would be pretty crazy. There's some other really good names on this list, too. I mean, I just mentioned the NBA. How about George Hill coming back to town? You got a chance to experience the free basketball camp last year, Zay. George Hill making his return to the 915. And he's going to be helping out with that that free basketball camp that's coming up on Friday as well.
Yeah, I mean, George Hill, a great guy. He seems really, you know, committed to, I guess, you know, helping basketball grow in El Paso as a youth. You know, he was talking about it at the camp. He wants to make, you know, basketball bigger here. He thinks it's a, you know, kind of, what's the word for it?
Oh, it's
a sleeping giant.
Yeah, I would think that's the case. Hey, I'll ask you, Alberto, because you get a chance to see a lot of NFL names. Matthew Judon with the Patriots, Nick Needham, we just mentioned him with the Dolphins. You also talk about players like, you know, Devin House, Devondre Campbell, all these guys coming from the NFL. And then you talk about an incoming NFL player, Tyrese Knight. He'll also be returning back to the 915 to play in this one. An exciting roster from top to bottom, really.
Yeah, and it's got a lot of UTEP minors, which I think is one of the more exciting things, right? That you can kind of see some guys that aren't constantly here in the borderline. You can get to see him return and see him playing a charity softball game. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited. I can't wait for tomorrow.
Yeah, me too, man. I'm very excited for it as well. Hey, our telephone number here to get on the program, 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. Also, 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and that's 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. Also, I want to give out these tickets. So we've got a pair of tickets to the ANA All the Way charity softball game. Let's get right to it. We're going to ask you this one. Simply put, this is an interesting one. Aaron Jones rushed for a lot of yards in his final game with the Green Bay Packers. What was the total? It was in the playoffs. And what was the team? Give it to us right now, 915-505-6009. You can win a pair of A&A All the Way charity softball game tickets here as we continue. Let's take a break right now. When we come back, we got Jeff Erickson on deck. We also have more with the A&A All the Way charity softball game. A lot of stuff coming up here on Sports Talk. Also, we've got NBA draft right around the corner. This one coming up at the top of the hour. Could it be Zachary Richesche going number one to Atlanta? Is it Donovan Klingon going number one to Atlanta from UConn? We'll find out. That's coming up right around the corner as Sports Talk continues right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. All right, welcome back. Sports Talk continues. You can throw it back on exit two, Alberto. Thank you. I appreciate it. We got EAS systems left and right, everybody. For our app listeners, doesn't mean anything to them. That's why you got to listen to our free 600 ESPN El Paso app. It's the only way to listen to Sports Talk here as we continue. EAS systems, you know, you got little clouds in the sky. You got windy conditions, a little uncertainty when it comes to the weather. So totally understand. No problem at all. But we'll keep you here as Sports Talk continues with a little EAS here in the background. Let's go out to our Longhorn Distributing Hotline. It's going to be a busy hour here as we continue. And welcome on Jeff Erickson, rotowire.com. He joins us each and every week to talk fantasy sports. Jeff, what's going on, man? Hey, I wish you could come out here in El Paso to experience the third annual charity softball game. It's the A&A All the Way Foundation. It's held by Aaron Jones and his brother Alvin Jones, and they do an annual softball game here in El Paso, and they try to bring out some really big name people. So like last year, they had guys like Micah Parsons. This time around, they're having NFL players like Matthew Judon. They even have Nick Needham from the Miami Dolphins, Will Hernandez from the Cardinals. We got to bring you out to El Paso to experience one of these, Jeff.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to do that sometime.
You know, Jeff, I got to start with golf with you, man. I was thinking about you this weekend when I saw Scotty win another one. I thought Kim had it. I mean, especially going in the playoffs and stuff like that. Is Scotty starting to be a little like Tiger? Not in the sense that, you know, the run is off, obviously the run, but now I just felt like he's starting to get in people's minds. And it's like a mind game right there when, Kim hits it into the sand and he's unable to recover in the playoff. And then Scotty wins yet another, here on the PGA Tour this year in a playoff this time around.
Yeah, no truth to the rumor that Scotty dresses up as Thanos for Halloween and says, I am inevitable. But it sure feels like that at times.
So how close is he, or how far away are we from comparing him to actual, like, Tiger territory?
You know, it's different. You know, I mean, there's two, like, one mitigating factor in his favor, one I think against. The obvious one against is that, you know, obviously there, you know, the tour is split right now between the PGA and the LIV. That, you know, a lot of the best players are not here right now. So, you know, he doesn't face Bryson on a regular basis. He doesn't face Rahm on a regular basis. On the other hand, I think players are better than ever these days. So I think that has something to do with it, too. So I'm kind of curious there. Plus, more Europeans are playing on the PGA Tour now. Most of the top Europeans, for that matter, are playing on the PGA Tour. So it's a little bit of a difference. I think it's a little short of Tiger-level dominance. But then again, you just look at the number of tournaments that Scotty's won, and, you know, it's almost in his favor here. So it's approaching that. I don't think we'll have a specific Scotty rule at our draft next year. But I guarantee he's going to go for a lot more.
Yeah, I feel like with Scheffler also, you know, the other thing that you got to really factor into this is the majors, right? I mean, you look at the recent U.S. Open, it wasn't what a lot of people thought it could have been. And that's, to your point, that's where LIV players and PGA players kind of blend. So curious to see what happens in the Open next month, although that's maybe a write-off. So when do you, I guess the next real test for somebody like Scotty, got to really look all the way to the Masters to talk about another, you know, to see if he could try to do it again. But I just don't know how battle-tested he is going week in and week out at things like the Rocket Mortgage Classic, you know, with just the PGA players as it stands.
Yeah, well, and to his credit, he's not playing that. He's winning elevated events, too, which is the other thing that's kind of crazy. Winning the TPC, which is as good a field as he's going to be able to face. Who knows if he didn't have that arrest at the PGA? Who knows what sort of track record we'd be looking at, too? That's the crazy thing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's switch it over, talk some fantasy baseball right now. Gerrit Cole was rocked by the Mets in a 4-home run, no strikeout outing. Your first reactions, your first thoughts to Cole?
Definite concern because the velocity was down. You know, he was hitting 96 in the first inning and not after that at all, too. And it's, you know, coming with a guy that's missed half the season based on an arm injury, you know, you got to be concerned about that.
No doubt. I mean, yeah, I would also think with Gerrit Cole, the way that they eased him back into the mix, being kind of optimistic and then just a terrible outing initially, it's not a good sign there if you're a Yankees fan.
No, not at all. It also is his second outing out, and we might think that there's some build up here too. So, you know, we might not want to panic too much. Just look at Max Fried, for instance, as one example of someone who had two terrible starts to begin the season. We were worried about carryover of injury from last year, and it turned out to be fine. So there's different ways to look at it.
Yeah, just settling into it. I understand that. Ohtani, he's really talking about, he was talking to the press recently, saying how he's growing as a hitter. Your thoughts on just his future as maybe a pitcher? Do you feel like he could ever be lured away from pitching and just strictly stick to batting? Or how do you kind of assess the future with Ohtani? Is it still kind of just as mysterious as it maybe started off the season?
I think it's going to – the Dodgers are going to be hard-pressed to turn down that possibility because I think there's still a lot of value in having both the stud starting pitcher and the stud bat there. I mean, that's part of the package that they paid for. So I think they're going to take it as far as they can before they ever make a hard decision like that. So I'm curious to see if Ohtani is available for, like, relief work in the playoffs or something of that nature this year. Probably not, but it's at least worth looking at a little bit.
Wu hit the IL, the 15-day IL for the Mariners with a hamstring strain. Your thoughts on this one right here?
At least it wasn't the arm this time.
Yeah.
It wasn't like elbow soreness like he's had multiple times before. Disturbing, to say the least. Frustrating because, you know, Wu, he's good when healthy, but he's not often healthy. So that's always kind of like a frustration point there. But, yeah, you kind of keep rostering him when you can, though, because it looks like at least this isn't a long-term thing.
Okay. Sticking with the Mariners, the Brewers get veteran Dallas Keuchel from the Mariners. Your thoughts on this deal?
I just think this was just – they're so desperate for innings right now. Carlos Rodriguez was not working. He was getting four innings in an outing. They have a big – after this homestand, they host the Cubs over the weekend. Then they hit the road for four games at Coors Field and three more games at Dodger Stadium. So they're going to need innings. They're going to need them badly. So I think, they really were trying to get a veteran arm to give them some length. But, I mean, this is kind of a desperate play. I mean, Keuchel's kind of a known commodity at this point in time.
Yeah, speaking of desperate, the White Sox right now eyeing Crochet workload. They've got a plan for him right now. What are your thoughts on his return here?
It's not going to help the trade value. Although maybe they're looking at more like, okay, we'll eye his workload now so that if you trade for him, he'll have more to give. I mean, that might be one thing to look at if you're the White Sox. And even if they aren't, even if it's not a trade, it is a good long-term thing. I mean, the White Sox are 21-60. They have to be thinking long-term here. And Crochet, obviously missed a lot of time. He's coming back from arm injury. He probably had a innings cap for this season. So, obviously, this isn't done with any sort of playoff thoughts in mind. This is all about preserving the long-term future of the player.
No doubt. Let's go back to the Yankees. All the news about, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and now being open to Yankee trade talks. It's such a hypocritical stance now, knowing where he was in the past. I guess I can't hold that to him too much, Jeff, knowing that he's been slighted by, or his family has at least felt like they've been slighted by the Yankees. But your thoughts on just this discourse right here and maybe something that could materialize into a trade eventually?
It seems like this is one of those things where it's a controversy over what somebody says.
Yeah.
And maybe it wasn't even an affirmative statement. It was more like in response to a question. So I think it's kind of much ado about nothing, but it's also reflective of where the Jays stand right now. I mean, they broke a 7-game losing streak yesterday. They're in a bad way right now. And But at the same time, part of that is because Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hasn't been what they'd expected so far. So, you know, there's a couple of different ways you could look at that.
Hey, you know, Astros righty JP France having surgery on his throwing shoulder Monday. That's what's now been decided. So it's just a series of injuries to the starting pitchers at Houston, opening out the season without guys like Luis Garcia. Of course, no Lance McCullers. We obviously know that. And then, you know, just what we've seen from guys like Urquidy having Tommy John surgery earlier this month. And then
and Javier, too.
Yeah, and Christian Javier. That's a good point. And then Verlander, too, now on the 15-day IL. It's been tough over there for Houston.
Yeah, and, you know, fortunately they have a couple of off days to kind of weather through for a little bit, but, Verlander didn't make the road trip for the Astros there. He's not going to join them in their first city. So I think that's kind of reflective that he's not going to be back anytime soon. He hasn't started throwing yet. It's kind of one of those things like, oh, yeah, this neck injury is a little bit worse than we let on. So, Astros, though, they're winning. They've made it. They've gotten to 500. They have won, I think, 7 in a row now. I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the market for a pitcher. It's just a question of what pitchers are on the market and what can the Astros afford, given how many prospects they've already traded away.
Yeah, do you feel like moving forward for Verlander? I've asked this to you before, but I'll ask it again. But moving forward with Verlander, do we see kind of like a load management thought with him? Or, no, do you kind of feel like he'll get a workload either way moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, he's already not thrown enough as it is, so yeah. I don't think he's going to have much of a load to manage so far. But maybe they get some depth and they go a 6-man rotation from time to time, and that would help out guys like Blanco and Arrighetti, who are and Hunter Brown for that matter, all of which are now kind of locked and loaded in this rotation. They can't afford to take these guys out.
Hey, the Guardians have Noel from AAA Columbus playing in the starting lineup for tonight's game against the Orioles. Your thoughts on Noel, 22 years old, set to make his major league debut, who's batting sixth, playing first base for the AL Central leaders.
And homered today already.
Wow.
For what it's worth, too. So,
amazing.
It's nice to for a team that's already having a pretty good run on offense there, adding some more depth to this there. He's having a great run at Columbus right now, and he's 22 years old too, so you gotta like that. He's not like a consistently highly rated prospect going into this season, and strikeouts are going to be an issue for him. Last year struck out 145 times at AAA. On the bright side, he reached AAA at age 21, so I mean that's the trade-off there. He was definitely young for the level. And he has improved that strikeout rate this year. And, man, you got to like that kind of dream on that power a little bit there. I'm intrigued to see what he can do. I don't think he's going to offer a whole lot in the way of defense, but, he's another good bat to add to the already potent lineup.
Brewers place catcher Gary Sanchez on the 10-day injured list. In this move right here, Sanchez has a left calf strain. He's hitting .218, 7 homers, 21 RBIs. What does this do for them right now?
Kind of opens up the DH spot a little bit there. What it might do, though, is, you know, force William Contreras to maybe sit a day or two, because usually they could just play Sanchez behind the plate and Contreras would go to DH. Unless they feel compelled to play Eric Haas, who they called up to replace Sanchez behind the plate. So long-term, you know, the impact might be that it's a handful of fewer at-bats for Contreras.
Spencer Turnbull's return to Comerica Park was ended abruptly. He pitched 3 innings and he left with right shoulder soreness. It's tough for him, tough news for him, but it's even tougher knowing that he's going up against the team who drafted him in the Tigers right there.
Yeah, and he said he felt a little grab on the second to last pitch in the third inning. It wasn't especially a concern, but that's him saying that. You know, we'll see what the team says. You know, he's going to have further testing tomorrow. We'll get a better diagnosis of that. I picked up Turnbull in a few places this week, too, so I'm a little frustrated on that because Taijuan Walker's already on the IL. This was going to be an opportunity for Turnbull to get his chance. Instead, maybe he won't be able to go for his next turn next week in Wrigley. So we'll wait and see on that one there. They got a kid named Michael Mercado who would be next in line if Turnbull can't pitch.
Trade deadline right around the corner. A lot is heating up right there. We alluded to the Astros earlier. You think maybe the Rangers could also enter that mix as big buyers here coming up at the deadline? And if so, who else are some of the other buyers here at the deadline?
Well, they could go either way. That's the interesting thing. I mean, the Rangers are – I mean, they're so pod committed to contending. You know, especially with what they've paid for, what they've invested in terms of players, in terms of future assets they've given up. At the same time, I mean, they're kind of failing to get going. Just got swept by the Brewers this week, midweek series here. So now you kind of have to see what the next month brings before you kind of see what they're going to do. It's hard finding good inventory right now. That's one of the big problems. Like, you look at the National League, there's really, truly only two sellers right now, in the Marlins and the Rockies. We know the Marlins will sell. They already traded away Luis Arraez, but we'll see. And the problem for the Marlins is, Jesus Luzardo is out on the 60-day IL. Edward Cabrera is out on the 60-day IL. It's not a whole lot of starting pitching inventory. There's relievers like Tanner Scott, but it's hard to find real, true sellers right now that have something worth selling.
Check out rotowire.com. You guys have all that everybody needs for the 2024 NBA draft. This is what we've been talking about all show, Jeff. We just saw the trade that happened right now. Denny Advia is going to be moved to Portland. The Trailblazers getting rid of that 14th overall pick. I see that up there with rotowire.com. I also see Nick Whalen's 2024 mock draft, his top prospects, predictions, and team picks. When it comes to this year's draft, it's so tough. I feel like you could look at Richichet from France. You could look at Alex Saar. You could look at guys like Donovan Klingon from UConn. I don't know who's going to go number one overall, and it's not really happened like this in the NBA draft for a while, where you're still wondering who's going to be picked number one.
Yeah, hopefully it's not another Anthony Bennett draft as him as the number one, but it strikes me as a Spurs type of draft. That they're really good at scouting international prospects, kind of digging into the corners. Maybe, just maybe, that they're going to be the ones that can do a whole lot there to kind of dig into the corners, do a better job of investigating who they can pick there. It has been described as a very difficult draft, and I wouldn't say talentless draft, but definitely like one where it's harder to tell. And part of the problem is, like, all the college players coming out are a little bit older too, so that makes it a little harder to determine the value. Like the two-time National Player of the Year isn't even like being avidly discussed as someone that's a top prospect in Zach Edey. The biggest name, the guy that the betting markets are spending more time speculating on, is nowhere near being in contention for the first overall pick, let alone maybe even the first round, and that's Bronny James.
Yeah.
There's a lot of betting on that, but I don't think anybody's seriously looking at him as an early pick. So it's kind of it's a definite difficult market to try to figure out what's going on here.
Keep an eye out for two-time national champion and El Paso and Tristan Newton, Jeff. He got a chance to win the national championship with UConn. He's part of that star-studded team. You talk about Castle, you talk about Klingon, all those guys up at the top of the draft. Tristan Newton, maybe a late second-round draft pick. It's been kind of a toss-up right now whether or not he will get picked up, but just keep an eye out for him. He's an exciting name that I think a lot of El Pasoans will be ready to see if he ends up drafted with a team or ends up just a two-way deal. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, a lot of UConn guys in the draft, perhaps two in the top 10. So,
yep.
in addition to Newton. So, yeah, I'm really interested to see what sort of pro Klingon can be. And who knows? Maybe some lucky team will, 3 years down the line, will collect all of these. All these UConn guys and put them on one team like the Knicks have done with the Villanova guys.
Or maybe the same thing with Kentucky guys. You got Reed Sheppard, Rob Dillingham. You got all the Kentucky guys in the league right now and do something crazy like that. So, yeah, I think it's definitely possible. Jeff, hey, man, I appreciate you as always. We got one question that just came in. This is from Enrique Ortiz. Hey, Adrian, Scotty's on the men's Olympic team for golf. If Team USA wins this, I think that would be enough to kickstart the conversation for Tiger status. What's your thoughts there, Jeff?
It's yet another arrow in the quiver. Yeah, it'd be another argument in his favor for sure. And if he won the British, same thing. Absolutely.
I just never think there'll be another Tiger. I don't know. It's hard. It's so tough because you never want to say.
There will always be another, Adrian. It may not be Scotty, but there'll be someone in every sport. There is always another of that. There'll be, I think we, in our mind's eye, we want to say that we lived through the era of the greatest of all time. Thus, there can never be another. But, There was Michael. Then there was LeBron. You know, it happens in almost every sport. It may take a generation, may take two, but there will always be another.
Well said. Follow him on Twitter and X at Jeff_Erickson. Check out all the great work. It's rotowire.com, your one-stop shop for all fantasy. And check them out for their NBA mock draft right before the top of the hour. Jeff, thanks as always for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Adrian.
That's Jeff Erickson joining us here on our Longhorn Distributing Hotline as we continue. Really appreciate him joining us as always. Take a break right now. When we come back, close out hour number two here on Sports Talk and 600 ESPN El Paso. All right, we're back here. Sports Talk continues along with Zay and Alberto. I'm Adrian. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. That's the telephone number to get into the program. Let's ping around a couple other storylines, and we'll get your guys' thoughts on these. Let's start off with some UTEP football news, Zay. I saw you tweet about this from earlier today. UTEP gets a new commitment. This is coming on the football side of things. We've got our Win the West boxes that have been dropped off already by Oscar Arieta, the official insurance agent of the Miners, the official, what do I call him? The title sponsor of Miner Talk. He is the OG sponsor of Miner Talk, has done it for every single year with us here on Miner Talk, and he's back with us with a huge giveaway coming up here on this station. We got the Win the West boxes right now. We're getting excited about UTEP football season. Speaking of Win the West right now, Hampshire Finette, offensive lineman Maddox Huber has committed to UTEP. He's 6'7", Zay. Tell us what you know about this guy right here.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big human, right? He's 6'7", that's huge. And, you know, he's from Texas. All five of these commits in the 2025 class are all from Texas, which is, you know, first off, unheard of for UTEP. You know, from the Dana Dimmel era, it was unheard of to have five commits this early in a class. I mean, they were usually having one or two, you know, commits this early for next year's class. You know, Scotty Walden and company, they already have five, all being, you know, high school guys from Texas. I think four of them are in, you know, the Houston area, which is great. I know the thing is Win the West, but they're winning Texas recruiting right now.
So they're winning the East. They're East winning Texas. The East. I like it. Alberto, let me throw some soccer questions at you today. It was a big day, you know, for soccer, and then it's about to be a really interesting couple days here in the future. I'm talking about U.S. and Panama coming up here soon enough. But you tell me about Georgia-Portugal. You were real excited about this one before the show. How massive of an upset is this one right here, if you were trying to put it into perspective? The country of Georgia, yeah, that's right, stunning Portugal 2-0 in the 2024 Euros.
Yeah, this is huge, just because they had never competed in a tournament like this. This is their first time, and now they move on to the next round, and they beat a powerhouse that is Portugal with a Cristiano Ronaldo. So, yeah, this is kind of not just little, this is huge. This is big for them, and you get really happy. When stuff like this happens in soccer and teams that aren't on the main stage constantly, when they get a chance to shine, and they do, that's what makes it all worth it. That's what makes it good soccer. They went up 2-0 on Portugal and never looked back. And Portugal, I mean, and Cristiano Ronaldo just didn't look like himself today. So fortunate for him, though, fortunate for Portugal, they do advance. So there is some hope for Portugal. And I'll read off kind of who advanced today into the round of 16s for the Euros. So you have Spain, Georgia, Germany, Denmark, Portugal, Slovenia, France, Belgium, England, Slovakia, Switzerland, Italy, Romania, the Netherlands, Austria, and Turkey. So it's set to be an exciting summer. And as of right now, it's in the 84th minute. Jamali Waite from El Paso Locomotives currently playing for Jamaica against Ecuador. It's a 2-1 ball game, and it's about to be over. It's kind of been a pendulum swing in momentum. Jamaica has a chance to tie it. They just got to get it done.
Okay, so back to Georgia-Portugal. Is this like Alabama beating Georgia in college football and like knowing that, hey, these are some heavyweights right here? Is this more like Texas beating Alabama last year where, hey, you didn't necessarily think the Longhorns could do it, but they eked out a win against the powerhouse in Alabama? Or is this more like Virginia, a team who's kind of out of nowhere defeating North Carolina and spoiling their unbeaten season? Like, if you're going to translate this to speak to me in college football terms, how big of an upset Georgia over Portugal is?
Well, the way I see it, and this might be unorthodox, is kind of like a Sam Houston playing an Alabama in year one of moving up into the division and then beating Alabama. That's what it is. Georgia had never competed in this tournament. So to move on, to beat a big one like this, to beat them 2-0, it's huge. It's
good
huge
comparison.
For them.
Thank you. Okay, last question. U.S., Panama. Are you worried about this one if you're a U.S. fan?
No, I don't think that you should be worried. I think they'll get it done. They've been playing well. I know that some people like to be worried. Now, I know Greg Berhalter isn't exactly what we all want, but I have faith in the team, and I think they can get it done. Panama is just not coming in too strong, so I don't particularly fear for them. So I think that USA should move on to the next round.
So tell me about your team, Mexico, tonight. They're taking on Venezuela. This is huge. U.S., you just kind of brushed that one aside right now with us on the show, but set the stage. How big is this matchup here, Venezuela taking on Mexico?
Well, this is huge for a couple reasons. Look, Venezuela, in their history of their organized soccer, don't have a win against Mexico. Mexico has 10 wins, and they have none. Venezuela has not won a game against Mexico, so they have kind of the motivation is there for them. You want to win this. And also, you beat Ecuador.
Right.
Venezuela beat Ecuador. They surprised Ecuador. And so they want to ride off of this. And on the other hand, Mexico, they lose Edson Alvarez. And that's a huge loss there in their midfield. Edson Alvarez is the captain. Not only that, he also plays at West Ham. And there was summer rumors of him going to Manchester United. So this loss of Edson Alvarez, it's huge. It's he partially tore his hamstring, and he's a complete out for the rest of Copa America. And in fact, I've actually heard that West Ham is going to go to Mexico and to L3 and ask for some money, because that's the custom in the FIFA when
it's true. Yeah, when your boy gets hurt on our team, it's on your end, man. We need some salary cap relief from that. Come on.
Yeah, because they were about to break the bank with him. Anything that happened this summer, they were due to make money off of him, and now that's not as likely. So they'll be wanting some money back. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, it's a huge loss for Mexico in the midfield, and a Mexico team that's not coming in particularly strong.
Oh,
right?
So you don't sound positive, man.
It's not a positive moment.
Are you thinking a loss? Like, are you telling me this is going to be an L for Mexico tonight?
I mean, if they don't play well, yes. You know, that I don't think they've played particularly well. They only scored one against Jamaica.
So if you had to make a prediction, it's 1-0 tonight.
Yeah, Mexico wins. If they win, it's 1-0. And if they lose, when they lose, it'll be like a 2-1 game. And they just, yeah, they don't really play as I've seen them play, right? I haven't seen them play particularly well, so I'm not too inspired by this team.
Okay, I got you. Good stuff there, Alberto. Back to UTEP Zay. UTEP news tomorrow. Joe Golding never tweets, yet he's tweeting something right now. Head coach for the Miners on the men's side. Big things are popping this summer for our programs. Keep your eyes on UTEP men's basketball tomorrow morning for some exciting news. Zay, what does this mean? What can we even guess this is going to be?
I'm going to guess it drops at 10:33. That's my guess. It's going to drop at 10:33 in the morning, Mountain Time. It's going to have something to do with 10:33, which, you know, we really have no clue what that is yet.
Well, it's the time that they were tied with Western Kentucky when the game was out of reach or whatever. That's the point. That's the mark that they're saying right there in the Conference USA Championship game.
It's because I went back. And they were already losing at 10:33. It made no sense. I was like, okay, what's so special about 10:33? It should have been like 12 something. That's when they tied, and you know, they kind of just fell off. They ran out of gas. So I really do want to know what 10:33.
Okay. I like the research there. Also with this event, so it says 6:27. Is this just simply UTEP's going to the Bahamas? Is this just simply UTEP's going to Vegas, like announcing that? Is this simply, you know, something about a new NIL initiative? Like, is that what this is all going to build up to instead of, you know, this being a grand reveal? Or maybe some merch. You know what? Grand reveal, merch, that goes hand in hand, in my opinion.
I'll take the merch. I'll take, you know, if it's something we already know, then I'm going to be a little bit, you know, not disappointed, but I'm hoping for something big, for something, you know, out of left field that, you know, really surprises me, shocks me in a good way. But, you know, I'm going to keep my hopes down because I don't want to be disappointed.
What we do know, as far as new, and speaking of things that we already knew, newest addition to the UTEP men's basketball program, head strength and conditioning coach, has been announced today. And we're talking about Tony Brutowski. So he is now the head strength and conditioning coach for the minors. He joins the team. We saw him earlier this week at practice. I asked coach about him. He said, hey, wait, I haven't announced this. Okay, this is on me. I didn't post this clip when I spoke to head coach Joe Golding. But that's exactly right. Brufoski has been hired to serve as the strength and conditioning coach. He held the same position at Southern Miss for the last three seasons. So that's just some news right there for UTEP Hoops. We're going to find out some more news apparently tomorrow, and it's happening in the morning. Joe Golding encourages everybody to follow UTEP men's basketball on social media. By the way, tonight they're doing a call-a-thon. They'll be reaching out to season ticket holders for the upcoming season. So this is all about to drop for some UTEP men's basketball. Zay, where are you at right now? Are you more on the football side? Are you on the basketball side? Where are you at right now for UTEP as far as the upcoming the upcoming seasons go? Are you more excited right now for football or basketball? Where we stand right here, June 26th.
Yeah, right now I'm in full football mode, and I think a lot of people would agree with me. I can sniff college football, right? You have the college football 25, the game, is right around the corner. You got this recruiting news, and we're going to blink and fall camp's going to be here, and I really can't wait. I can't wait. College football is almost back. Football in general is almost back. I mean, we got to wait it out. Only a couple more months.
You just dropped your mock draft for the NBA. You tell me, this draft to you, what do you see in it so far, and give me your 1, 2, 3.
Well, I see it's not top heavy. I think it's really, really – I think people, if you lucked out, or I guess if you didn't luck out and you got, a lottery pick that's maybe 10 or 11, you shouldn't feel too bad, because all these players, I feel like the talent level is, about the same. It's not going to be the most talented draft ever, but I do think that, it's really spread out. You're going to have to, look at players deep and hard, players that, fit your system. And I think a couple of teams later on in the first round can really luck out.
Okay, tell me who's your favorite prospect. If you had to go number one, not necessarily who's going to be selected number one, which, by the way, you say Zachary Richichet going number one from France to Atlanta at number one, which a lot of people are thinking as well. Lane Frank said that one earlier. I'm double down with Donovan Klingon at one. Who's your favorite prospect in this draft?
Yeah, for me, it's going to be Colorado forward Cody Williams. He's just such a smooth player to watch, and I think – if he doesn't go, in the top 10, it's an absolute travesty. I think he's going to be one of the best players from this draft, Yeah, that's my guy for sure.
Okay, if you had to check one other name to look out there, maybe somebody not a lot of people are talking about right now, who's another name?
Ron Holland. It's got to be Ron Holland.
I like it. Rodney Terry, KJ Lewis connection right there. I love it. Hey, let's take a break right now. When we come back, top of the hour, we're going to head out to talk with Tim Haggerty here at the top of the hour. Then we'll get you to some Chihuahuas baseball. That's coming up 6:15, all right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Right, it is our final segment here. Just a final couple minutes here as we got to get out to some El Paso Chihuahuas baseball. They're out in Round Rock right now, and we are now joined by the voice of the El Paso Chihuahuas. He is Tim Haggerty. The Chihuahuas coming off a 15-9 victory to start off the second half of the season, Hags, and the Chihuahuas tied for first place after one day. There we go.
Yeah, nice start to the second half of the Chihuahuas, indeed. It was quite a game. The Chihuahuas led 7-2, scored a bunch of early runs against Johnny Cueto, the two-time Major League All-Star. But then Round Rock came back, and a few innings later it was 7-7. But in the end, the Chihuahuas went ahead again and won.
I didn't realize this was the fourth time Cueto faced the Chihuahuas. That's an interesting nugget in itself.
Yeah, that has just been a quirk of scheduling over the years. Cueto in both 2018 and 2019 was with the San Francisco Giants, happened to be on the injured list, and pitched in AAA rehab games at Sacramento. And it just so happens that in both cases, the Chihuahuas were there at the time. And then El Paso also faced him earlier this season with Round Rock. One fan messaged me this morning asking about Cueto and his rehab assignment, but this is not a rehab assignment. Johnny Cueto, in this case, has signed a minor league deal, and he's on Round Rock's roster just like everybody else.
This is a weird question. Why was yesterday's game so long, Tim?
There were a lot of walks. It was quite unexpected to have a 3-hour and 51-minute game here in Round Rock, typically a fairly pitcher-friendly park. Right. It was the second longest AAA game of the year anywhere. And Round Rock pitching in the ninth inning walked six batters. The Chihuahua scored five runs on one hit, and you rarely see that type of inning at this level. Their pitching coach had to be furious for the mound visits out there. But, yeah, it was a slower-moving game, and we very rarely see a ball game get into the high three-hour mark in the pitch clock era.
I was going to say, Tim, like, I would love to see the listed games that are even past 3 hours and 15 minutes, let alone 3 hours and, 51 minutes that you experienced yesterday.
Exactly. And Round Rock, because the travel is such an issue in the Austin area because of the traffic,
yeah,
they actually start some games at 7:15 Central Time, like tonight. So when you combine that with the long game, the Chihuahuas were still playing on the field past 11 p.m. here, Round Rock time last night.
Wow, that's real interesting. Yeah, that traffic is tough right there. Tim, thanks so much for joining us as always. We got to get out to you. We were a little late yesterday, so we're going to get out to you a little earlier this time around. So really appreciate it as always.
Okay, thanks, Adrian.
That's Tim Haggerty, voice of the Chihuahuas, on deck as the Chihuahuas take on Round Rock tonight. It'll be Gabe Mosser on the mound for El Paso. Meanwhile, Round Rock will have righty Owen White on the mound for them. That'll do us for us here on Sports Talk. For Alberto, for Zay, for Sal Montes, I'm Adrian Broaddus saying so long. We'll be back in action tomorrow here on 600 ESPN El Paso.